Thank you.
Yeah.
The name. Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We give the good Lord praise this morning. He is worthy to be praised. Amen.
So worthy.
Amen. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Amen. Amen. Without any further delay, I want to thank the good Lord for Jonathan who came to sit in on the drums there. He is a kind of gave us a little extra boost this morning.
Amen.
We're going to move right along and for the conservation of time and get right into the word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The word is such a blessing to
yes,
carry us through all the times and everything we have to go through. Amen.
Yes.
So we want to look today, as you know, those of you who've been sojourning with us here, we have been working our way through the epistle to the Romans. And we come today again to chapter 12. Now you're going to say, looks like we got some overlap here today, Pastor. And as y'all know, I do like to overlap a little. Amen. Because it's always a good thing. And now what's happened here though today, and I'll explain it as we go along, is that we have changed translations here today. So now this is a new phase of the overlap. You're going to be looking at this. We've been studying chapter 12 thus far from the King James translation. And today we're going to be looking in the NASB, New American Standard translation, to give us some other perspective on the translation, which is crucial. And you'll see that for both the Old and New Testament scripture readings for today. And all salvation is a result of the gift of Jesus Christ to everyone who believes in him.
Amen.
God has given his son. So we are the recipients of gifts from the Lord.
Yes.
Starting with so many gifts. God has given us time. We can talk about the creation, all those things. These are tangible things that God has given to all men.
Yes.
But to those who are saved, he has given his son.
Yes. Amen.
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 So that's a special gift, and he's given that to everyone who believes in him. Mm-hmm. But also there are other special gifts awarded to each believer as well, based on the selection of God, the Holy Spirit, for carrying out the specific mission of each and every believer. God has a specific mission for each and every one who believes in him, and he has other gifts that he gives to those who have trusted in his son. In other words, when you receive the big gift, God gives you smaller gifts. And we have been looking at that idea of one body in Christ. Now he does that, and that idea, as we mentioned, I'm going to just review a little on that before we read the text, is that all who trust in Christ come together in a unity, because now that Jesus Christ is gone, remember how he taught his disciples, he said, it's expedient for me, for you, that I go away.
Yeah.
He said, because if I go, I'll send another just like me, the Greek says, another one exactly like me, and he's with you now, but he will be in you.
Yeah.
See that? So he promised the gift of the Holy Spirit to everyone who trusts and believe in him.
Amen.
Okay, so he said, you think it's a bad thing. That's why in John 14, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And he told them, you already know the way, that because I already told you. Now they're sitting there going, wait a minute now, Lord, we're not getting it. And they weren't getting it because they didn't understand that his death was necessary to pay the ransom that we owe God for our sins.
That's right.
Not that he owed anything, but he came into the world to pay the debt that we all got, all
Amen.
Of us.
Amen.
Not just us in this room, but us on this planet.
Yes.
The difference between us on this planet and us in this room is that some people on the planet don't believe that Christ is the only Savior of the world.
That's right.
So the thing that distinguishes me and you from them is the fact that God has given us faith to believe in His Son.
Yes.
And so therefore we have a special relationship with God because of His Son.
Yes, we do.
And because of the faith that He has given us to believe in His Son.
Yes.
See, so if you think that went through, that means we didn't do anything to get saved. God did everything to make you saved.
Yes.
He gave the message of His Son, which is what we preach, we call the gospel. That's good news that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, that would be you if you trust in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Yes.
See, so the mission of Christ was not a mission of condemnation.
That's right.
So you and I who are saved, we trip over the fact that people who are not saved don't believe. Why? How could you not believe? How can you not trust Christ? Didn't you hear what the man said? He said that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Right.
How can you come against that?
All right.
Don't you know that right now without Him you're dead in your trespasses
That's right.
and sin?
That's right.
And that He wants to wake you up and give you life by trusting in His Son?
Amen.
But He can't accept you without His Son, because otherwise you have no sacrifice. There is no atonement for your sin. That's what the good news of the gospel is.
Yes.
If you trust Christ, God takes away your sin.
Yes, He does.
He cast it up on His Son who was crucified on the tree.
My Lord.
And then He takes His righteousness after He has paid the debt for your sin, and bam, He cast it up on you, each one of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You might as well say bam. I'll give it a little bit of a little bit of onomatopoeia. You know, that's what they call words that sound like what they was like. Bam, you saved all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's right.
And so God wants to do that. He wants to save you.
Amen.
He wants to cover you with the righteousness of
yes,
Christ.
He does.
But this message is oppressive to people who are lost, who are dead in their sins.
Yes.
Paul said it's not only the Greeks, but also the Jews. The Jews themselves that he gave the message to were the first rejectors of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have been rejecting the good news all the way back further than that.
Yes,
the law and the prophets tells us. But the good thing is that God gave it to His to the Jews to deliver it to the world. By the time He came, they saw fit to crucify Him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much we don't believe what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Is we're going to take you and crucify you. Have you crucified.
Amen.
See? But so there is a blindness there, a spiritual blindness. We're going to talk about that also.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want you to see is that basically here, as we look at the word today, we're going to go ahead and have a reading of the text. And we have just gotten a few ideas that I think will really help you in your thinking as you go through life. Because if you do believe, it's because God gave you the gift of His Son. And this is another episode that we're going to talk to help explain a few things. And that's why we've chosen the NASB translation. Now, of course, as you know, and I'll say this, then I'll go call for the reading of the word, and we will move along. I always have so much in my head, I don't ever get to talk about it all. Amen.
Amen.
So y'all say, that's the way we know, motor mouth preacher, we understand. Well, I'm going to try to move along here and keep us moving here today. And we're going to go right ahead and get into the word. But the last thing I want to say, just before we do that, is the translations. King James translation just became 400 years old, and it was written and translated in 1611.
Right.
So in 2011, it became 400 years old.
Right.
And so the NASB was done by the Lachman Foundation. What it does is it upgrades
right.
the translation to more modern terms. That's why sometimes when you read King James and you find a word like concupiscence, you go, when the word is concupiscence? People don't say that anymore.
Right.
You know, so we don't know what that is now. Mm-hmm. So we have to go grab a dictionary and find out what is concupiscence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you this morning either. I'm going to leave you hanging. But the fact is, there are words like that in there, and you go, well, what in the world is concupiscence? And you might not even look it up. Then you don't really know what it meant.
Right. Yep.
And so when you read the NASB, what they did is they went and they translated the words in a word that you do understand now. 400 years, think about how many changes there were in language.
Oh, yes.
Over 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
400 years ago, if I said, man, you my dog, somebody would have been ready to cut my head off.
Yep.
Dog, what's wrong with you? They would have been mad.
That's right.
See?
That's
if I say, man, you my dog, now it's like, hey, yeah, that's my dog, you know. And we throw that around, and that's just the way language changes over time, just to give you a brief illustration.
Yeah.
So we're going to look today in this NASB, which is the most accurate word for word translation available today. It does not violate the text. Some of you might be reading NIV. Sometimes to me, and I have examined it, looking at the original tongues, NIV takes some liberties that are not what I would call legal.
Yes, they do.
They take some illegal ideas, and it's not that there's anything wrong with it. In general, it's a good translation.
Yeah.
But NASB does not do that. They don't take any avenues, because they try to say the NIV is the best thought for thought translation.
Right.
They're trying to get you to understand the thought that the writer had in mind, but in order to do that, they add words which are not justifiable in the original tongue.
Yes.
NASB does not do that.
Yes.
They stick to the word in the original tongue, and they add as little as necessary to make the translation more readable for you to understand. So that's something you may need to know that I wanted to share with you. So today, we're going to read. Have a reader stand and read for us from the Old Covenant, from Daniel chapter 6. And we're going to read about 5 verses there.
Amen.
And also, we're going to overlap a little bit. And this is what we were talking about in Romans 12. We're going to read the first 8 verses. Now, we are moving forward, but we're kind of backing up too. And I just did that to help you have the extra understanding that's given here by the better translation.
Amen.
Amen. So having said that, let us stand for the reading of the word.
Amen.
And I'm going to ask for a reader to read both the Old and the New Covenant. Let's see, we have some volunteer readers today. Who wants to read? Okay, amen. Okay, well, let's hear the Old Covenant right now at this time, and the New.
It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them 3 commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit,
mm-hmm.
and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. That they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption. Inasmuch as he was faithful, as no negligence or corruption was to be found in him.
Mm-hmm.
Then these men said, We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God.
All right. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his blessed word. Amen. Now for the New Testament scripture reading.
Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship.
Mm-hmm.
And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of yourself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith.
Mm-hmm.
For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function,
that's right.
So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another.
Mm-hmm.
Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberally,
mm-hmm.
liberality,
mm-hmm.
he, yeah, I don't have it.
Who leads with diligence, who shows mercy with cheerfulness. That's the end of verse 8. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I think we had an issue with the printing this morning. I did that myself, so don't blame it on anybody else. My computer was at odds with me this morning, and it didn't print everything, so I ended up copying and pasting a time or two. But that is that verse 8, and I'll read it one more time. Or he who exhorts in his exhortation, He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Amen.
Amen.
So having said that, let's have a word of prayer, and I want to talk with you today briefly on the topic of since we have gifts.
Amen.
Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for all the holy gifts that you have given us,
Lord,
and otherwise we would not be able to have fellowship with you. And so, Lord, we thank you for all the precious things that you have given, Lord, and it's just, as you have said in your word, it's a token of your love and mercy toward us, that you have given us these gifts, especially the gift of your Son.
Thank you, Lord.
Who you allowed to come into the world to change the way things are here on earth with respect to you and your wrath against sin.
Yes.
And so, Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus was shed, and it was by your will, it was by his will, it was by the will of the Holy Spirit. It was in accordance with the law and the prophets that you gave him in order to shed the blood that was necessary to cleanse vile, wretched sinners of every sin.
Yes, Lord.
And you allowed it to become a historic fact in human history so that no one could really ignore it. There are those who try to sweep it under the carpet, but Father, we know you made it the most permanent thing that the world has ever seen, and you allowed it to be a fact of history that can't be erased or nullified. And so, Father, you gave us one day, you gave us the understanding by hearing that message, the good news that you love us that much, that we might embrace the gospel, the good news of your Son. And that we, by that, would be saved. And so, Father, we thank you for salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for the grace that is in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We thank you for the good word and the good message that you have sent through the law and the prophets and the Psalms and the holy writings,
oh, yes.
O God, and even from the apostles of the New Testament.
So,
Lord, we just praise you and thank you. And we ask today if there's anybody in this room who does not understand the idea of this love letter that you have written to all mankind.
Yes.
That they would believe it today, hear it today, understand
yes,
it today,
Lord.
And be saved today, because we know it is your good pleasure
yes.
to save all who hear the message.
Yes.
So we bless you right now, Father. We pray for ears to hear
yes.
and a heart to understand what the Spirit saith to the churches.
Mm-hmm.
And we bless you and we give you praise. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus' name.
To him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to talk about since we have gifts.
Since we have gifts.
Amen.
Now you'll notice last week's message came right out. We lifted it right out of the text here, and we looked at one body in Christ. You and I have become one body. We have a fellowship with one another.
Yes, we do.
It's a very unique fellowship.
Yes.
We're all individuals, and we said we had to personally be saved, but we also connect together as one body. Not just us in this room, but us, this should be now all the saints everywhere
mm-hmm.
on the earth.
Yeah.
And we are a member of the body of Christ.
Yes, we are.
So in other words, Christ's physical body ascended into heaven
mm-hmm.
After 40 days after the resurrection. The Bible says he was lifted up, taken up into a cloud, and received into heaven and seated at the right hand of God.
Amen.
And that's his priestly office. That's where Jesus, the man who is God, who came out of eternity, became flesh and dwelt
yes.
among us, John 1:14.
Yes.
He first off showed his apostles and taught them what the Old Testament meant and the fact that he himself is God who came down to rectify the problem of sin. That's what the term Christ means. He is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the reconciliation that God requires to fix the world of the problem of sin, simply put. He himself and his coming fixes the world to God.
Yes.
You catch that?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, sin did damage to the world from Adam's sin.
Right.
Jesus came to fix the world. He came
Amen.
To repair everything that the sin damaged.
Yes.
That would be all the people that were born of the seed of Adam. It would be all of the evil plots and different kinds of governments and all those kind of things that are set up in the world
yes.
that are not holy, that are not pro-God, if you will.
Amen.
In other words, he fixes everything that's wrong with the world for God.
Yes.
And not only does he do it for God, this is the good news. This is where we get in on it. He did it for us.
Yes, he did.
Amen.
So we call that the gospel. He came to fix the problem. Fisher has a problem with sin. I don't do everything right. I can't get up and tell you that I've done everything correct from the time my mother birthed me up until this very moment, and I will not sin until I die. I'm not able to say that.
That's right.
You know, is there anybody in here able to say that? You say it, but will it be true? The Bible says if you say you have no sin, you lie, and the truth is not in you. See, so the fact of the matter is we all have the same problem.
Yes, we do.
Not just us in this room, but us on this planet.
Amen.
And so God knew we all had that problem. So what did he do? He sent a fix. You know, you have to download upgrades to get a fix when you're working on your computer. Say, oh, this is messed up. But of course, this is way better than that, because God's fix is permanent. It fixes everything for all time. And whoever believes is fixed.
Yeah. Amen.
So I don't know if you consider yourself as a believer that I'm fixed. God fixed me up.
Right.
The psalmist said, my heart is fixed.
Yes, it is.
See, that's what he meant, because he trusted in God and God gave him what he needed.
Right. Yes, he did.
In order to say, I am fixed.
Yes.
I don't have to download any more upgrades.
Right. All right.
I'm already fixed.
Right.
See, it's an entire job that God did at one moment in time. Just like the sin entered into the world at one moment in time, it poisoned the whole mix.
Yes.
And Jesus came in order to fix whoever believes in him.
That's right.
So if you want to be fixed, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says, and believe that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. It's very simple. Now, you know, that's so basic. People go, oh, is that all? It seems simple. But when you trust Christ, it's going to be the most revolutionary thing you have ever done.
Right.
You're going to go, wow. You're going to start to see how stuff straightens out in your life. It doesn't instantaneously repair some of the damage that's been done over the years.
Yes.
But it does bring a source of repair, and also the hope that it is being fixed. God is working on it.
Amen.
I've taken the antidote, and the poison won't kill me now.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So it's in you, and it's working on you right now.
Yeah.
And so as individuals, we need to be saved, but also corporately, we become one body in Christ.
Yes.
In other words, we all have a function that God has prepared us for.
Yeah.
He starts off by giving us the understanding of the gospel. That's the first gift. God gave his son. He did that in eternity past. The Bible says before the foundation of the world, Christ was a lamb slain.
That's right.
From the foundation of the world. So God already knew that there would be sin. It was not a surprise to him.
Amen.
And he determined in the Godhead that at some moment in time, after the sin corrupts the whole creation, I will send my son. We would call it 2014 years ago, based on our calendar. He will come into the world. He will bear their sins.
Yes.
In his body. On the tree.
Amen.
He will pay the debt. He will satisfy me, and I will accept all who trust in him.
Amen.
And that's it. I don't have another fix. So people want to tell you, oh, all religions lead to God. Yeah, they do. But you're coming to be judged by God if you come another way. Jesus said, except you come through me, you have no audience with God.
Amen.
He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. So yeah, they will lead you to God, but why are you coming? The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess.
Right.
Yeah, so if you trust something else, you are going to come to God. That's true.
Amen.
But when you get there, you're going to be disappointed if you come without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Without the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is God's only acceptable way of salvation. Now, I hear somebody thinking, and somebody will hear this on the internet and send me an email, Pastor, that's not politically correct, what you just said. And you know what? It isn't. It's not politically correct, but it's the truth.
That's right.
You don't have to be politically, it's not politically correct, but it is the truth. And I will not take it back.
That's right.
There's one way, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. So you and I are the body of Christ. That's a good thing.
Yes, we are.
Now, when you think about a body, you can just say, we can just look at this one here. See, this body has a thumb. It's got two of them. Got a couple of index fingers. We can start looking at all the parts and begin to identify the body. But we don't even know all the parts. But think about anatomy, the anatomy of your body.
Yeah.
And every part is important.
Yeah.
There's no part you would like to do without or anything of that sort.
Right.
And so look at the figure of the body and realize that God wanted you to be a part of the body of Christ.
Right.
You have a function in the body of Christ, no matter who you are.
Right.
And basically, you execute some something that no one else can do. Mm-hmm. Like my finger can do some things my foot can't do. Mm-hmm. I haven't tried typing with my foot. Don't do too good with my fingers. But I would imagine it would be kind of rough if I decided I want to try to type or play the piano with my feet. Yeah. Doesn't work well. But see, now my feet can do some things that my hands can't do.
All right.
And so I got some stuff I wouldn't try with my hands that I would do with my feet.
Yeah.
You know, and things of that sort. So we start to look at the parts and we find that they're unique. Mm-hmm. Everyone is necessary. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't want to be without any of them, basically. So the body is complete because God gifts us with different gifts in different places.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to see here some things in this translation, just since we have it and I have a minute here today. He says, therefore, looking at Romans 12 and 1 in the NASB, mm-hmm. I urge you. Now, we know the old King James says, I beseech you.
Yes.
Now, some of us, the younger people, go, beseech? What in the world is that? So that's why this translation is good. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, that means our physical bodies, that one's in the plural, a living and holy sacrifice. Acceptable to God. That means live in purity. Live your life in purity and holiness. Aim yourself at doing things right. Determine that my body will be used for the glory of God in everything I do.
Amen.
And that's only your reasonable service, he goes on to say. It is your spiritual service of worship. Amen. See, this is how you worship God with the way you live your life every day.
Amen.
So that's the goal, is to point my life, all of what I do, everything in this body, toward God. Make it a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is. God already did that.
Amen.
He made your body a temple of the Holy Spirit. Spirit.
Amen.
What happened in the salvation transaction is you heard the gospel from somewhere. You may have been hearing it for years and you didn't believe it, but one day you heard it and it hit me and I knew this is what I need. I need to be fixed.
Amen.
I need to receive God's mercy.
Amen.
God has given his son to fix me.
Amen.
You got that somewhere in your spirit. It became a rhema, we said to you. It's a word that you understand. That's what rhema is in the Greek. You understood that if I don't accept Christ, I'm not going to be saved, but I want to accept Christ because I want to be saved. You aligned your will with the message that God had given, and you said, Pastor, I want to be saved. And you came forth, or however you did, or somebody prayed with you, or
yes.
Your mom may have prayed with you. Somebody got you on board and said, let's pray and ask God to save you. You prayed and you got saved.
That's right. Amen.
Now what happened right at that moment is God the Holy Spirit moved in. The moment
right.
You trusted Christ in your heart, he moved in.
Yes, he did.
Oh, it wasn't anything in there that was contrary to you or taking you the wrong way, he threw it out.
Mm-hmm.
I always hear people say, well, God cannot dwell in an unclean temple. That's right. That's why he gave Jesus to cleanse your temple. Because otherwise your temple is not going to be clean.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit moved in on the virtue of Christ, not on the virtue of anything you did.
That's right.
If it was up to me, he still couldn't live in here.
Right.
But he lives here because Jesus died and paid my bill.
My Lord.
And God doesn't see my filthiness anymore.
Thank you, Jesus.
He covered me entirely by his grace and by his sacrifice on the cross. That's the good news of the gospel. Wouldn't be gospel if I got to do it.
That's right.
Because I'm not too good on these kind of things. This is supernatural. It's way over my head. I wouldn't be able to handle it.
That's right.
But God did it. That's the good news of the gospel.
God.
But what the flesh could not do is because it is weak, God did. And the law could not do it.
Yes.
God did. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh.
Yes.
Romans 8 said. Remember that in review? And so God did what we could not do for ourselves. One day we believed it. And at that moment, God sealed us with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I promise we're going to see that because we're going to take our sojourn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to ask you to bookmark it now so that you can be ready to look at it in just a minute. But notice this, God did that. And now that he did it, we are acceptable to God. God has declared you righteous. He has accepted you if you have trusted Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. The Holy Spirit has moved in. He's taking up the job of cleansing you
yes.
on the inside.
Amen.
He's taking up a job of prayer. We read that in Romans 8:26 because we do not know how to pray as we ought.
Mm-hmm.
We have an infirmity. I don't even know how to pray correctly.
Yes.
All right, I don't know everything I need to pray for.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit is in you if you're saved, and he knows everything about you.
Yes, he does.
And he knows about God, and he settles the account, and he's praying to God, interceding for you with groanings that cannot be uttered.
That's right.
So in other words, he's telling God, okay, this applehead here, he needs this. He got some issues over here, God. Make him not do that anymore.
Right.
And he's praying to God for you.
Right.
That's awesome. You know, sometimes I realize, you know, boy, I should be doing doing this another way, and all of a sudden I start doing it that way. Uh-huh. And that's because the Holy Spirit prayed and told God something that I needed to do, and it woke me up in an area where I had been asleep, or it gave me understanding where I had none before. And now I know to move in a new direction, and I bring it to the altar, ask God forgive me for the past, and I move on forward in a new direction. And so the Holy Spirit, that's called sanctification, progressive sanctification.
Yes.
Now you are sanctified two ways. Number one, God, when he saves you, he takes you out of the kingdom of darkness and moves you into the kingdom of light. He takes you out of the kingdom of Satan, puts you in the kingdom of his beloved son. And so God moves you positionally from lost to saved, and that's by faith and by grace alone.
Yeah.
Where did you get the faith from? The Bible says faith comes by hearing.
Yeah. Yes.
Hearing by the word of God. You heard the word. It became rhema to you. You trusted it. You believed it.
Yeah.
God gave you faith, moved you to the new kingdom.
Yes. Amen.
So now you're a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so we're on that path. So now he's saying present that body now that you've been serving sin.
Yes.
Serve the Lord with
That's
your
right.
body.
Amen.
In everything.
Everything.
Be holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual service of worship.
Yes.
Do not be conformed to the world. That's the way we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the world does, I'm going to do. If the world says yes on this, I'm going to say yes. So everything we agreed with the world before.
Mm-hmm.
You see, now we want to agree with God
and
his word. Take the word and replace that stuff that the world wants you to do, just like we talked about here briefly just a second ago, politically correctness. That's the way of the world. No, well, we're not politically correct.
That's right.
I don't mean to offend you, but there's a higher court than you
that
I have to give an answer to, and I'm afraid of him. I'm not afraid of you at all anymore.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? But when I stand before him, I'm not going to disown him. I'm not going to do it now. I'm not going to do it later.
Amen.
And you know what? He said, if I do that here, he will own me when I see him there.
Right.
You see? So therefore I take the higher road on that, and I'm going to trust God and speak his word exactly as he says.
Me too.
If it's politically incorrect and you don't like it, I'm sorry. Don't mean to offend you, but I have to tell you the truth, because Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, so there is no freedom in politically correct.
That's right.
There's freedom in the truth in God's word.
Amen.
And so we're going to stay right there no matter what they say. So we're not going to be conformed to the world, but we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. God is making us think a new way.
Yes.
Now think about this. I'm going to stop there just a minute. There's stuff that we have thought about an old way for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
In our mind, every one of us, even though we're saved, there's some stuff we're thinking the way we used to think.
Yeah.
And now we need to learn what God said on every subject.
Yes.
You ought to be thirsty to come and hear the word of God.
Amen.
So you can get God's idea on things, not on the way you used to think about things.
Amen.
We've been in the world a long time. We probably heard a lot of stuff that's pretty twisted, especially in the past 50 years, because the Bible used to be the center of the culture in America.
Yes.
No more. 50 years ago, if you're under 50, you have been subjected to a bunch of hogwash in your life as far as political ideas, as far as social ideas, as far as financial ideas, all kinds of things that used to be taught as standard information because the Bible was taught.
That's right.
And if you didn't get it in your home, there's a lot of stuff that you may be on another track. So you really ought to be thirsty to hear what God says.
Amen.
Know this also, we are here just for that express purpose. One of the express purposes of St. Timothy MB Church is to teach you what God said.
Yes.
So Amen. Is there anything you want to know? What does God say about this? What does he say about that? And you don't know and you don't know how to find it, come to church.
Yes.
Ask the pastors, ask the deacons.
Yes.
If we don't know, we'll find an answer.
Amen.
And we'll let you know what God's position is on anything that's in the word.
Yes.
And you ought to want to know. You really ought to want to know. If you're going to present your body a living sacrifice, you ought to want to know, what does God say about this or about that or about the other? And that's why we're here. We're here to teach. Jesus left his disciples with the Great Commission. He said, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations.
Yes.
And baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So he said our mission is teaching.
Yes, it is.
And that's the reason I picked that name for the ministry of Straight Gate, when, as you know, I was we still are Straight Gate Ministries also. Teaching Bible.
.org.
That's our website. Because that's what we intend to do. We want to teach the whole world what God said in his word.
Amen.
teachingbible.org. You can put that down. The St. Timothy website, of course, is sttmbc.org. I want you to know that. The stuff you can, if you don't have time here, and you have time somewhere else, go online. Since this is a modern way of instruction, that's why we put this information online, so that you can always study it at your leisure if you are not able to make it into the sanctuary or at the times of study. We want you to be here. It's always a blessing to me to look and see you.
Amen.
Sitting there. I'm blessed to see every one of you. Mm-hmm. I love to look over you and to pray to God for you on your behalf.
Yes.
And so I'd like to do that. But if you can't, then we just make other ways. And then if you want to share it with your cousin in California, you can tell them to go there also.
That's right.
Or your uncle in Virginia or wherever they happen to be. So we make this vehicle available. So we want you to do that. Why? Because we're trying to do what the Lord said.
Yes, we are.
He said, go into all the world. Yeah. I said, Lord, I'm in St. Louis. How can I go into all the world? How about the internet? It goes around the world.
Amen.
Bam. Put it online. So there it is. This is a way to get the message out around the world, anywhere. Mm-hmm. Back to our text. I want you to see that renewing our mind, that's going to be a process. We're not going to be instantly renewed in our mind just because we're saved. There's going to be stuff you've been thinking, stuff you've been doing, stuff that you have kind of gotten molded into the way it is, the culture, and you get it piped into you through the television, through the radio, through all kinds of stuff. There's information coming in that's not like what God said. So we have a lot of that, all of us. If you come to church one day out of the week and you go to work 6 days out of the week or five, you're hearing more from the people you work with, from the TV, more from the radio, more from other places, not unless you purpose in your mind, I'm going to cut some of that off.
Yes.
And I'm going to feed myself with the truth all week long. That's the only thing, and we encourage you to do that.
That's right, amen.
But if you only come Sunday, you need to really just tune in, get your ears on, come to Sunday school, do whatever you can to soak up as much of the truth as you can.
Yes.
Because I guarantee you, time is running short. That's not to scare you, but it's to motivate you to understand where we are in the world. As Paul says that your salvation is nearer than when you believed. There's coming a time when the final things will start to kick in. And I think we're getting closer and closer. And the word tells us that.
Yes, it does.
And so you want to really be studying. Renew your mind, he says, or be transformed. So that you may prove. See that? Mm-hmm. What is that? Will, what the will of God is. We want to know what is God's will about everything.
Yes,
not what does anybody else say.
Right.
That he said that which is good and acceptable and perfect. God will teach you to do things good, acceptable, and perfect in his sight. And so basically, this is where we're going to make a transition here. Notice he says in verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not that you ought not think more highly of yourself than you ought to. So you know what? The world teaches pride.
Yes, it does.
The Bible teaches humility.
Yes. Amen.
It's the exact opposite.
Amen.
The world says toot your horn and get up on your high horse and blast the trumpet and all that for everything you do. The word says it's spiritual limbo. How low can you go?
Right.
How low can you get down? Some of the people may not understand limbo. I probably went back too far. The limbo used to be they took a stick and they would play music and you had to go around and go under the stick. I don't know if people still do that. And then they drop the stick a little lower and they keep on dropping it on down to see who can get up under that stick.
Right.
Well, see, that's what we call spiritual limbo. We're trying to go down to see how low can I go.
Amen.
See, rather than how high can I get and how many people can I attract and
amen.
You know what pedestal can I get on so people can say get a load of me, you know, all of that. We're not trying to do that. We're trying to get down and serve people.
That's right.
Serve them the truth. Serve them what is right.
Amen.
You see, and so I want you to see here that he said, don't think too highly of yourself, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith.
Yes.
Now God has given everyone who believes a measure of faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Yes.
So God gives you the ability, a measure of faith, to perceive that which is that he is doing by faith, that you can embrace things that you can't even see.
Amen.
We can believe in stuff that we have not seen. God configured the world so it's easy for you to do that. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He made so many invisible things, you believe in all of them. Right now, I can start naming stuff, gravity, magnetism, we can go on and on and on, helium, I can start talking about all kinds of stuff you've never seen. Wi-Fi is in this room. The room is filled with Wi-Fi. Where is it? I don't see it. You know, but it's here. It's all kinds of invisible stuff. And we could go on literally for days naming invisible things you believe and trust in everyone. And people say, well, I don't believe in God because I can't see him. Well, why do you think he made so many invisible things? So you could easily embrace that which is invisible. You do that by faith. You trust God by faith. And you don't have to see it. I don't need to see it. Somebody asked me, Pastor, do you want to go over to Turkey and see on Mount Ararat? That might be the ark up there. The ark of Noah. I said, no, I don't. I see it in the word. That's good enough. I don't need to go up there. I'm not thinking about it. So it might be up there if it is good. If it's not good, I don't care. God said it. That's good enough for me.
That's right.
See, so we begin to embrace the truth by faith.
Yes.
And we want to walk by faith and not by sight, the word says. Amen.
Amen.
And so basically the grace was given to him. He says, remember to be humble. And verse 4 says, for just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function. So we as many, he says, are one body in Christ and individually members one to another. So we're all connected. The fingers are connected to the hand, and the hand connected to the arm, and the arm connected to the shoulder. And I'm not going to dance on that one like I've heard some people do. You know, and the shoulder connected to the hip bone, and you do all that old stuff. We ain't going to go there. But in either case, the body is all together, and it's made logically and for a purpose.
Amen.
And so we need to remember where we are. Come on back. But I want you to see here now as we move along just a little. It says, so then, we have gifts. That's where our message title comes from. Since we have gifts, God has gifted us, he see, individually, but also together as a body. He says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each one is to exercise them accordingly. Use the gifts God has given you to his glory. Now, some people are going, well, I don't know what gifts God has given me. Pray about it. What gives you joy in the church? What kind of service gives you joy to people? Pray about it. God's going to reveal to you what those gifts are. You may know. You may know what they are. Some of us do. Some of us are operating in the gifts, and he goes on to give a few examples. If prophecy, then prophesy according to the portion of your faith. If service, serve. Simply put.
Yes.
Or if teaching, teach.
Yes.
See, it's not, he's not trying to do an exhaustive teaching on gifts here, and we will take that up later. He's just saying, whatever your gifts are, put it in use.
Yes.
Don't let it go to waste. God is telling you, move out. Do what he has gifted you to do. Make the body work better by what it is that you have to offer that God has given you. It says, if exhortation, exhort people. That means to encourage people to do the right thing. He who gives, maybe your gift is giving. Just finance some things that the church needs.
Amen.
And do that liberally, with liberality, he says here. He who leads with diligence. In other words, if you're a leader, let people see how diligent you are in your leadership.
Amen.
If you make an example so they can see what good leadership looks like, be diligent. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. If you show mercy, let it be the delight of your life.
Yes.
Do people know you in general as a cheerful person? Or do they go, oh, here she comes again? When you walk in the room. Yeah. It should be, if you're cheerful, you know, sometimes usually people are just the opposite with me. They look like, boy, is he for real? You know? Because they want to know, why is he smiling about everything? You know, I had a crisis happen at work, and some stuff was destroyed, and everybody was freaking out. Oh, what are we going to do? And they felt like the world was coming to an end. And I came over and was very cheerful in the middle of it all, because I knew exactly. I said, well, it's not the end of the world. Nobody died. I'm happy, you know, that we can get this together. And I start telling people, okay, here, you go do this, you do that. And it's the folks who were on my crew. And next thing you know, we had everything together. The people were looking like, boy, you know, because I'm smiling through the whole thing. And folks are bummed out. And my computer is destroyed. And the walls are falling in. And, you know, all kind of stuff. And I'm going, okay, we'll get it together. Don't worry about it. And so just being cheerful in the middle of a disaster is preaching. It's telling people something that you are doing. They see it from within you. The way you carry yourself in that disaster. Or it could even be like in Paul's. Says that when people die, those who are saved don't have to grieve as those who have no hope.
That's right. Amen.
See, because you know what happens when people die, especially the folks who are saved. If they say, praise the Lord.
Yes.
And they go, what? Praise the Lord. You know, and they're coming undone because they don't have that same hope that you have.
That's it.
See, and you have joy unspeakable, full of glory. You know, God said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Yes.
So God is happy. So why should I be sad?
That's right.
See, and we sing that song, why should I be discouraged?
Yes.
We like to sing that, but we want to live it. and wide. Bring out with all that good old stuff.
Good.
You know?
Amen.
So we really feel like that. People who wrote those songs understood the situation in the world.
Yes.
You know, they say God is in charge.
That's
he has
right.
fixed me by faith
right.
and his son. His son's risen from the dead. The grave doesn't even mean the same thing to me
that right.
it means to the lost.
Amen.
Because I'm going to have victory over the grave.
Yes.
I already have it right now. That's why we sing victory is mine. We won't
yes.
sing all that.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
God is taking care of all of that.
That's
so
right.
we don't have to worry about it.
Amen.
Now in my last few minutes here, time's getting away. I want to talk to you just about Daniel here, just a minute. Daniel is a good example of an Old Testament saint who was filled with joy in the midst of turmoil.
Yes.
He was somebody who utilized, and Daniel is a great example of how God utilized the giving of giftedness even before the cross of Jesus Christ, along with a host of others whom God set apart by special enabling abilities to glorify himself through them.
Mm-hmm.
For the advancement of his kingdom purposes. When you look at Daniel, you know what just happened? The whole nation of Israel has now been collapsed. The northern kingdom has already gone into captivity.
Yes.
The southern kingdom has just been taken into captivity.
Yes.
The whole nation, the covenant people, are destroyed. They've been wrecked by foreign powers who have come in, tore down Jerusalem,
yes.
stole all the vessels out of the temple,
mm-hmm.
burnt the house of God with fire, tore the wall down. Yes. It was a great travesty.
Yes.
It was terrible devastation. And then they took some of them captive and led them into Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so Daniel was there with some of his friends. You hear about them all the time. Their pagan names are known better among people than their real name. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yep.
And so you know about the story of them, some of you who've been in church for a while. But the fact is, Daniel is in the middle of it, and he's cheerful even in the midst of turmoil.
Yes, he is.
And so we see here from the prophet, he is the prophet writing here, he says, and this is just a commentary, Daniel 6:1, it seemed good to Darius, who was the king, or the foreign pagan king that overtook Jerusalem and took them into captivity. And what Darius is doing now is he's trying to maintain his control over the world.
Wow.
So he appointed 120 satraps. These are rulers. We might call them like the Congress or the senators or the governors in the states. It would be the equivalent of that today.
Right.
That they would be in charge of the whole kingdom. He puts other sub-rulers over the whole kingdom because he's trying to take over and control and rule. He already took over, but now he wants to maintain his grip on everything. So he puts some other people. He's not got enough wisdom to see, I can't do this by myself.
Right.
So I need some cronies. I'm going to give me a whole set of cronies and send them out and give them charge over different areas, and they can all come back and report to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and tell me how much money am I getting here, how much am I getting there, how much am I in all the provinces, and they can execute rule and run armies and keep everybody under my foot.
Yes.
That's the way his thought was right there. I want you to see that. And over them, it says three commissioners. Now, I'm going to have three people to take care of those satraps. They have 60 people apiece. They'll report to them, and then all three can come into my area and report to me. See, he had his whole little structure in order there
yeah.
of how I'm going to rule the world. Kind of like Pinky in the Brain. Y'all ever see that little cartoon?
Yep.
He said, Brain, what are we doing today? What do we do every day, Pinky? We're going to take over the world.
Yep.
That's what he says. You know, a little cartoon. Some of y'all might have went over your head. But in either case, this is what he's doing. He's taking over the world now, and I got three people going to come and report to me.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And so they come in here. It says, over whom? Daniel was one of these that he sent over, one of the three commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
Now look at that. God gave Daniel favor.
Yes, he did.
He was one of them from the captivity. Well, how'd you get involved in this? Because
mm-hmm.
God gave him favor.
God did it.
Do you know what? God will give you favor
yes,
and set
will.
You right in a very powerful position
yes.
in your job
yes,
or in your life. Because he loves you.
Yes,
and
he does.
And this is how I'm going to have my little say in this. God is saying, he's really, Daniel is more important than all of them.
Yeah.
Because he
yes.
believes me. He trusts me.
Yes.
I'm going to give him favor right in the midst of whatever yeah. he's dealing with yeah. in life.
Amen.
God will give you favor like that.
Yes,
he'll put
he
you
will.
In a position so I can show myself off through him.
Amen.
See, and y'all think the whole world is coming undone, but I'm still in charge. Even though my people,
oh,
I sent them
yes,
in. God says, as a matter of fact, I sent them there to whoop them so they can understand they have gotten out of my will.
That's right.
But I'm going to put Daniel in the midst of the control situation here. And these satraps might be accountable. That notice this, that the king might not suffer loss. He's worried about keeping everything I got a grip on. Then this Daniel being distinguishing himself among the commissioners. He began to stick out. He was like like really just excellent, you know. And they come up with ideas. He said, hey, let's do it this way. And he give them a better idea of how they should do everything. And so basically he just started to distinguish himself among the commissioners and the satraps because, why? He possessed an extraordinary spirit. What's going to happen to you if you have an extraordinary spirit from God? And you go in the midst of a bunch of folks who have a desolate attitude about the world and about life. God sanctifies you. He sets you apart so you shine like new money.
That's right.
Right in the midst of whatever situation you're in. So, you know, you ought to be living like that. Think about that. God has given you an extraordinary spirit.
Amen.
This is the Holy Spirit, basically. Yes. Now, we even have a closer relationship with God
than
Daniel did back in his day.
Yes, we do.
Because Jesus hadn't died yet.
That's right.
But God was still executing everything. Now, notice this. This Daniel began distinguishing himself. Verse 4. Or let's move back. He says, and he had an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. The king said, I like that Daniel. Well, he's throwing down over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else started hating on him after that. It's like, what? You're going to put him over the entire kingdom?
Right.
We don't want that. We're not happy about that.
Yeah.
And so then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs.
That's what they would do.
In other words, they're going to check his books, read his spreadsheet, find out is he trying to do anything dishonest. But they could not find, they could find no ground or evidence of corruption. That means Daniel was presenting his body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Because if they could find something wrong with him, they would.
That's right.
Inasmuch as he was faithful, but he was faithful. See that?
Yes, he was.
And no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. That ought to be a report on every one of us.
All right.
You see, no evidence of any corruption should be found in us because we know we have a higher office to answer to. And no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption because it was not in him. Then these men said, well, we will not find any ground of accusation on Daniel unless we find it with regard to the law of his God. So we know the story. What they did was they said, well, King, we want to honor you, and we wanted to be that no other God is worshipped and nobody but you.
Yeah.
And they had the king was in his prayers. Yeah, that's a good idea. He signed off on it. It was a lot of trouble. But I just wanted you to see that you can be extraordinary in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through.
Amen.
And beginning with the measure of faith that God has given you, the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Think about this. Who is God?
That's right.
Who is the Holy Spirit?
Yes, God.
Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit is in you. God dwells in you.
Yes, he does.
And this is the first of the gifts given by God because of our faith in Christ Jesus, wherewith we are sealed for the day of redemption. I see we're going to have to save this Ephesians 4. And you can read it on your own. That's why I wrote it down. I thought I might run out of time because this is a good lesson.
It's good.
But we'll talk about it a little bit on Wednesday. So please come in on Wednesday. We may review a little bit of it on next Sunday, Lord willing. So since we have gifts, I just want to go back to our topic. Let us cultivate them and employ them as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You and I are good stewards over the perfect gifts. The Bible says every good and perfect gift does what? Comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So, and it also says, Romans 11:29 says that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. In other words, they're irrevocable. God will not take them back. So if you got gifts, God gave them to you to use.
Amen.
And if you're not saved, we want to tell you, take the first gift right now. God has a gift for you. He is offering the gift of salvation to whosoever will. You can come right now knowing that the bill is paid entirely, that God loves you just like you are, and that he has given his son to settle that debt once and for all. And you can know today at this very moment that you are saved if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you'd like to be a member of the St. Timothy MB Church, we want to invite you also to come. We cleared the front row here to give a place for you to sit. And we'll take you in if you want to unite with the church.
Amen.
Please come.
Praise the Lord.
Don't be ashamed to own him. He is not ashamed to own you.
Glory, hallelujah.
The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Look at what he went through. He allowed them to strip him naked and hang him on a cross so he could accept you into his family. So we want you to come right now. Do not be ashamed of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Glory earth is the Lord's hallelujah. And the fullness thereof. And if you are saved and you're just looking for a church home, you can
Glory,
come too
hallelujah.
At this time. It doesn't have to be that you are not saved. Come if you
Glory,
are saved.
Hallelujah.
And you would like to put your swords in the same direction with us here at St. Timothy, we want to invite you to come also.
Amen.
We are accepting Amen. A member by letter or a candidate for baptism. If you have not been baptized, you may come at this time.
Amen.
We are here for you, and we are looking to do a great work in the world, not just in Wellston, but
that's
in
right.
the world.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. We have our hopes set on reaching the world for Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And we start here. Think about this. Jesus started with 12.
Amen.
That's right.
And you are here today and me because of the 12.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
See, have you thought of it that way? He had 12. And you and I, how many are here? We got more than 12 here.
Amen.
See,
Amen.
And think about all the churches everywhere. All of them are the fruit of those 12.
Yes.
That he called. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So come right now and be a part of a great thing. It's the best thing on earth.
Yes, it is.
Now, I can boast on that. The church is the best thing on earth.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that's where you need to be. You need to come so you can hear the word of God made plain to you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And be a part of the body. Work, learn what your gifts are and how you
yes.
might exercise them to the glory of God.
My Lord.
Yes. Amen. So since we have gifts, we want to ask you to come
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to go through many changes. Just come forward and unite with us, and we'll give you instruction as the Lord leads.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Come to Jesus.
My Lord.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Just now.
Just now.
Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now. He is calling.
Glory, hallelujah.
He is calling. Just now.
Just now.
He is calling.
He